by the time you read about it in the Wall Street Journal, it's already too late.
Nobody knows if the stock is going to go up, down, sideways.
The only problem you're going to have is that you didn't buy more. Let me lock in that trade right now and get back to you with my secretary with an exact confirmation.
All right, buy or sell time. A lot of Russell Wilson-related stuff still on this day where, yeah, we got the news yesterday, but the aftermath, of course, of what's next for Denver and Russell Wilson certainly staring at us in the face. Buy or sell? A lot of talk about George Payton. Either way you want to slice it, he has not been good. You can't name a lot of good things that he has done. Is he gone soon? Do you buy or sell that George Payton will be gone next? That Sean Payton finally just clears the whole thing and they get rid of George Payton as well?
I don't think so. Not right now. I think maybe you give it another year and maybe do it at the end of next season, because you're in draft prep and free agency stuff right now.
And it does seem like they kind of, on the surface, appear to get along, Sean and George. But as Keeler told us earlier that, hey, this is kind of like Sean was coming in, demoted George, essentially, even though he's still the GM. He's not in control of player personnel. I mean, the Russell Wilson parting of ways was Sean Payton. Let's be very clear. That was Sean Payton. I'm selling that idea too. I think he sticks around for the foreseeable future.
I want you to get out there and sell, sell, sell.
You putting any stock into the Twitter emojis from the Broncos' current top three wide receivers in Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, Tim Patrick, of basically Jerry saying, you know, on Russ's Twitter account, crossing his fingers that maybe he would be next. Are you buying stock that means anything, that these receivers want out of Denver? They don't want anything to do with the rebuild happening or the reboot, whatever you want to call it, that maybe that means something. Are you buying that means anything?
A little bit. Wide receiver rooms are pretty tight-knit, and these guys have been together for a number of years now. Maybe they all don't see themselves as fits in whatever Sean Payton's system is now that it's fully Sean Payton's team. Maybe they liked Russ, and it's, hey, you're getting rid of my guy, so I want out. Or, hey, I saw what you did with the contract stuff. I know Jeudy will be up for a second contract here soon. I don't want to do this with you guys.
Yeah.
Did Russ get to them and say, hey, these guys aren't going to really, you better have a good agent or they're going to do something.
Well, it started with Tim Patrick. He responded to Russell Wilson's thank you letter to Broncos country and mainly to, like, I don't know, a handful of players. Tim Patrick being one of them, even though Russ and him never played
together.
Wait,
he didn't name every single player?
Didn't name every single player. Wow. Which I think we can deduce from that email, or from who he thanked personally, who might not come out against him someday. Tim Patrick retweeted Russ's thank you Broncos country tweet to say, thank you, brother. See you soon, with the fingers crossed emoji. And then Jeudy did it. And then Sutton did it. Patrick started it. That's the messaging. I'm buying that it means something. I don't think they want to be here. Even though George Payton's the one who gave Tim Patrick the contract, and now Tim Patrick hasn't played a down on that new contract. But I guess that's kind of the George Payton thing to do. Russ hasn't played in his new contract, so I'm buying that.
All cash. None of it's on the books.
Are you buying or selling that Russell Wilson will be the starting quarterback plan? I'm not talking about an injury happens, a rookie quarterback, a young quarterback is bad, whatever. I'm talking about, are you buying or selling the notion that Russell Wilson's next team, on that next team, he will be featured as the plan? He will be the starting quarterback going in, essentially, to the regular season.
I think I can buy it. I know the options are small right now. it's kind of it's you know, potential that the Commanders, the Bears, the Patriots are all going to have new quarterbacks next year that they're going to draft. The Falcons, is Justin Fields getting moved or not? Are they going to still be interested? Where's Kirk Cousins going to end up going? I'm seeing stuff about Trey Lance maybe getting interest from the Vikings. That's a guy that's still kind of out there. Is there enough spots for Russ to go somewhere and start? Or does he have to start the whole year? Or can he be, hey, you're going to start for 8 weeks, and then we're going to let our rookie go?
He's a bridge guy?
Yeah.
On the minimum? He'll go get a minimum contract somewhere?
I mean, I could see the Raiders doing that. I could see the Raiders getting a second-round quarterback and having Russ start for 8 weeks.
Well, for many reasons. Tell me what Sean Payton was like. Tell me what that offense was really all about. Sure. What wasn't you weren't getting that he's hoping that J.J. McCarthy or Bo Nix or Jarrett Stidham or Jameis Winston gets. So I could see that happening. Raiders, maybe that's heating up a little bit, that Russ could go there.
And you think about, you know, tenured coaches like Tomlin. How's that relationship going to work? A guy with the with Pierce and the Raiders, he's a fresh guy, but he takes a different approach to it. Does Russ want more of a player's type of coach? Not that he can push over, but because the relationship would be better.
Am I buying or selling that he's the plan, at least for to start the season? I'm going to sell it. I'm going to sell that today.
I want you to get out there and sell, sell, sell!
Buy or sell, one more. Overall, the feeling around the NFL, and I'm talking collectively between fans, players, coaches, management, the feeling overall is sympathy for Russ. Are you buying or selling that? Or is it probably makes sense after the way Seattle stuff went down the beginning of his time? Remember, Justin Tucker, a kicker, was among many that made fun of Russell Wilson. Is there sympathy there, or is it kind of, yeah, that actually makes sense?
From what I've seen on social media in the last 24 hours.
A lot of positives.
Lots of positives. You know, a lot of just Broncos people like, yeah, we finally got him out of here. But I've also seen a good bit of, oh, they did him dirty, and, you know, Broncos completely mishandled this. And so I'm probably right down the middle on it.
Do you think the NFL overall are they sympathetic? I'm talking fans, coaches, managers, players. Are they overall, is the feeling sympathy or is it good riddance?
I would say sympathy that leans towards we need to be smarter about contracts and negotiation stuff.
Yeah.
And when to discuss benching or potentially holding you hostage for a contract or negotiation.
Yeah, I think had that stuff not happened, the whole injury clause in his contract, the injury guarantee, had that stuff not happened at all, I believe that the feeling would be more or less, yeah, Russ was weird. That makes sense.
I think we all admit that, okay, Russ wasn't great in Denver. That the benching thing, that hits the ear wrong. It's like, what? Why would you ask that in the middle of the season and then you win like six in a row? Like, it's just, the timing of it was just strange.
Yeah, had that not happened, I think it would be more of a good riddance, didn't seem like a good fit. Maybe he's not a good fit for anybody anymore. But because it did happen, I think people are using that as the lasting memory of Russ's time in Denver, not really going back to the Hackett days, and that's fair. It happens. So I do think that I am buying that more than not, NFL circles are feeling sympathy today for Russell Wilson.
All cash. None of it's on the books.
All right, there we go. Buy or sell. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. It's a fascinating study, man, the way this contract went down. Like, there's still talks that the Broncos are trying to, you know, it's going to be like $85 million of dead cap. $85 million. There is still potential that, you know, there's an opportunity for the Broncos to be able to eat a lot of that now, like 50 plus million of that now, and then do the 30 plus million next year or the other way around. But this is, again, Angel, this is the perfect time to tank. This is the best time to do it because you're going to get a pass from ownership and logical fans. This is the time to tank. Go draft your quarterback at 12. Trade up to get him if you need to. Use next year's first-round pick. I'm at that point now. I didn't like using a first-round pick for Sean Payton, but I like using a first-round pick for a quarterback. So at this stage, do it, but call it what it is. You're going to learn this offense. If you learn faster, great, good for you, but you won't. So Jarrett Stidham, give us a spark or give us death. Give us, and we won't. It won't matter if we have a first round pick next year. If you tank, whatever. But you would at least have a second round pick, and you would have maybe some other options. Again, an NFL team is not made or broken based upon just the first round. And I do think if you move up and you get the right quarterback, and you happen to struggle next year, maybe you tank. You're going to have better second round picks. You're going to have better third round picks. And that apparently is where George Payton is supposed to thrive. So give him a lot of draft picks. So I think this is the best time to do it. This is when you're going to get the most sympathy for it. Sean Payton directly will get the most sympathy for this. Because of all of the, you know, hiring Hackett. The ownership changeover. We're still not that long into this. It's wild. Shout out to Lemons Heating and Cooling. Want to mention that they're participating at the 2024 Northern Colorado Home and Garden Show. They're going to be looking for the oldest furnace in Northern Colorado again this year. There are some restrictions, so you got to make sure you check it out. If you want details on this and how you can qualify to tell the world that you have the oldest furnace, you must register at the Home and Garden Show March 8th, 9th, and 10th. Drop your information and they'll confirm you are the winner. And you're going to get a brand new furnace for that. So if you have the oldest furnace, you can prove it, and you enter it, you can get a brand new furnace, courtesy of Lemons Heating and Cooling in their partnership with the Northern Colorado Home and Garden Show. 18 minutes after the hour. Quick break coming up. The UNC Bears, everything went right for them to claim the second seed in the Big Sky Conference tournament. And now all that's left to do is win the tournament. Regular season's over. Just like that, Steve Smiley and crew got to the 20-win mark, which is phenomenal. But are they done yet? Talk about it next.
The Big Sky Tournament begins March 9th. Mike Rice will have the call for the Bears live from Idaho's Central Arena. A Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears.
The UNC Bears did what they had to do last night, and that was, first things first for them, they had to win. They had to beat Idaho State, and then, of course, they needed Weber State to lose. And it all worked out for them, and they get the second seed, best seed in a couple of years for the Bears, and now they have a realistic opportunity to run the table in this tournament, maybe? Maybe so?
Yeah, I think... The way the bracket has laid out, they probably have got the more favorable side in terms of you don't have to face Eastern Washington, Weber State, or Montana State at any point until the championship.
Yeah, that's the big thing. You want those two teams on the other side of the bracket. That's a big deal. And how about the Bears, though? I tweeted this last night. They were picked to finish bottom of the barrel and their second seed. And Steve Smiley and his, I know a lot of those guys, and Dorian Green and Houston Reed. I mean, these are just exceptional people, great coaches. So I'm really pumped for them. Like, good for them to be able to find a way to get the best out of this crew. And this crew is good. St. Thomas is ridiculous. The Bears will play in the second round Sunday, March 10th. We'll have that game for you here, 7:30 pregame. With an 8 o'clock tip-off, the Bears will face the winner between Northern Arizona. And, oh, sorry, I said Idaho State. Northern Arizona, they need to beat
They'd either get Northern Arizona or Idaho State. That's why I got Idaho State on the brain. That's what it is. But they could be going up against those guys, either one, who they just saw, both of them.
Yeah, and they did sweep both of them this regular season. They also swept Montana and split against Portland State. So plenty of knowledge against both of any of these matchups down the line. But even I remember, like, thinking back to the start of the regular season, I had no idea what this team was going to look like. Even talking to St. Thomas one-on-one, seemed like he had a good attitude. Was curious about how he was going to transition and how the new guys were going to mold themselves in. And it took a little while for them to find their chemistry. But I go back to that Air Force game down in Colorado Springs. A couple of games in where they had Jaron Riley back in the starting lineup. DeJour Reeves goes down to the bench. But they found something that day and came back from their winter break and rattled off a lot of wins.
Yeah, they did. And they needed Weber State to lose last night, and they lost fairly big. They were up at the – or tied at the half, and then Weber State kind of get it – looked like they were going to get some control there. But the Bobcats outscored the Wildcats 44-32, and so that's what needed to happen for the Bears to get into that second spot. So we'll be excited. For as long as the Bears go, we're going to have it for you. Right here on KFKA. So excited about that. And Coach Smiley, congratulations to the University of Northern Colorado. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. That's what's cool is, like, again, the basketball scene is so great. You got a big one tonight with the Nuggets and the Suns. Big for the Nuggets, trying to chase down that number one seed. And maybe Booker's not going tonight, sounds like. That's exciting. Well, not exciting that someone's hurt, but... You know what?
Brady's inner Nugget fan was just like, woo!
It's Booker. You know, but although I like to beat Booker, I like to watch the Nuggets beat Booker. So I would like to be there tonight when that happens.
Yeah, Devin Booker is listed as out. Yusuf Nurkic is a game-time decision. Nuggets 8.5-point favorite.
Do the Suns rest KD tonight? No, I'm just asking.
I mean, probably not. I can see them doing that. Because this is still an important game for them.
Yeah.
Nuggets, they've only met once this season. Back in early December, the Nuggets won that 119-111. And the Suns are sixth right now in the Western Conference, 7 games back from the one seed.
Yeah, and
7 games back from the Nuggets, sorry.
Phoenix didn't... They played on Sunday, so they were off yesterday, so it's not like it's a back-to-back or anything. They do... They do go back to Phoenix to play Toronto and then Boston on Saturday. So it's not like a crazy schedule as far as back-to-back or a lot of games in a lot of day or a short amount of days. So I wouldn't imagine Phoenix is resting anybody tonight. But I always just, you know, you worry about that now.
They've lost to the Rockets and the Thunder in back-to-back games. They're trying to make that push, want to stay in those top 6 seeds to avoid the play-in.
Who do the Kings have tonight? Because if the Suns lose tonight, they could drop out as of right now and go into a play-in spot.
Kings are off tonight.
Okay. So they could lose their 27th tonight. The Kings are 34-26.
Kings will play the Lakers tomorrow.
In L.A.?
Yes.
This should be a fun one. I'm looking forward to it. I haven't been to a game yet this year, so finally got an opportunity to... Go check this out, and, you know, it was between this one or the Boston game. Boston game was harder to get into.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't commit at the beginning, it's hard. You don't get to pick and choose.
One of the Timberwolves matchups at home.
Mm-hmm. That'd be a fun one to go to. Yeah, you know, it's, again, we have the ability to go and do the credential thing, but it's, to me, it's better to just sit and relax and watch the games. It's fun. Mm-hmm. So... Take father-in-law and I are headed down there later on. This I don't know what time we're going to leave. Game starts at 8. I'd like to be there by a little after 7. Mm-hmm. What time do we leave?
Denver traffic, getting to the arena.
Crunch time in Denver, too. Do you leave here at 5? It doesn't
take
2 hours.
You're going to hit traffic all the way down.
Do you leave here at 6?
I'd probably go like 5:45.
5:45, okay.
It depends if you want to go eat in Denver somewhere. Beforehand or not.
Mm-hmm.
Park somewhere downtown, walk to the arena.
We got the parking. All that's done, taken care of. So, yeah, it'll be good tonight. sitting again, Nuggets relatively healthy coming into this thing. You know, the Jamal Murray ankle thing turned out to not be that big of a scare.
Yeah. KCP's finger, personal issues, hopefully resolved.
Yeah. Should be a good go tonight. 29 minutes after the hour. Okay, Angel, coming back. I got the Russell Wilson apology letter, and I just want to, I'm going to be that guy. I'm going to go through it in detail and give you my real thoughts of what it, just some thoughts from every line.
Well, and I have a clip from a couple of years ago when they signed the contract and your reaction to it.
Let's hear it.
And it may surprise you.
Let's come back with that. Okay. 30 minutes after the hour. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, to avoid confusion, I just want to set it up. You pulled back the reaction. We already did the reaction to the trade. And I'm going to try to predict my reaction to this, Angel. My reaction to the contract extension. I was pretty excited about Russ. Confused by the extension, but I was, for the most part, in on the idea that Russell Wilson was going to be the next franchise quarterback.
Yes, yeah, so the trade happened in March, and they signed the contract September 1st.
Before the season began. So here it is from that time, September, 2022. Here it is. Oh, man. Hey, I mean, 2 years left on the Seahawks deal, and then you add the five years to that. He'll probably finish his career as a Denver Bronco. And that, I mean, that's got to be exciting for everybody. You know, just looking at the situation going forward, building with this new ownership group, George Payton has done nothing wrong. I've got one blemish, and it's not even really a blemish because I think George Payton kind of had an idea that Russell Wilson might be available, so he kind of limped it along last year with Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock. Now going back, it's not a big blemish to me anymore. And he hadn't before that. Hackett hadn't failed yet. He drafted Patrick Surtain. He was the middleman between ownership at that point. It seemed exciting. It really did. But then when you look at everything that transpired after that, fans, and we said this, I think Hugh said it. Hey, fans can get excited and think that the trade and the extension were okay. You know, there were a lot of people that were pumped because you didn't want to turn into the same situation that you saw with the Rams and Matt Stafford. And when they had the same deal, didn't have the same trade value, but it was, hey, we could extend him now or we could wait. Oh, he went and won a Super Bowl. And now he's going to cost us more. So the thinking was there. And then also the fact, you know, remains that it does sound like Russ's camp basically said, we'll only waive the no trade clause if you agree to sign the extension. So this is my whole point on the, you know, if you're going to argue about the trade, if you're going to argue and say that or the extension was bad, then they're kind of one in the same. Those are one in the same because the trade, whatever it took, that was what it was going to take to get Russ. But Russ doesn't agree to it if he doesn't know that he's going to get the contract extension. So yeah, at the time it was like, dude, if they really feel like this is the guy for the long term, lock him up. But the guarantees on that contract were pretty alarming as well. But yeah, were we all wrong about Russ? Most of the media was wrong. But why wouldn't you be? I mean, your thoughts on Russell Wilson before he was a Bronco?
He was a top 10 quarterback in the league. Pretty solid teammate from what I could see.
Good dude, it seemed like. Yeah.
Seemed that people liked him and
won a Super Bowl.
Yeah. It's good.
Went to two. Shouldn't throw in the ball.
My old roommate is a Seahawks fan, and he was always like, you know, 6 weeks into the year, oh, Russ is going to win MVP, like every year.
Sign that guy to a long-term deal. 5 years was a long time, though, after the two. Dixon says what's really crazy is he never actually played one single snap under the extension. He didn't.
So waiving that trade clause, was that, do you think there would have been another team out there that he would have waived it for?
I don't remember who was in the running for that. Who else was rumored that, you know? Because again, it was so buttoned up, dude. This was not, you know, when Peyton Manning was a free agent, it was well documented where he's looking at the Titans and the Broncos. Those were the main guys he was looking at. With Russ, it was a complete shock to me. And I have a decent relationship with Broncos people, you know, with insiders and reporters. So it was not, this was not something I got a feel for on Twitter or anything. You were on Twitter a lot. Was there a lot of that? There was talks, but then there were guys in the Seattle media market that said, no, this is not happening. It's just, there's too much. Seattle's not really, they're just going to be willing to finish this out for 2 years. Plus, Russ has the no trade thing, and he'd rather just stick it out and then test free agency.
Yeah, I mean, I never thought that they were going to extend or get a new contract for him in Seattle. Thought he would finish it out there. I could sense that the relationship wasn't going as well because they still had to pay other guys on that team at that point. I was like, you're not going to be able to keep Russ and Jamal Adams and, you know, all your different defensive players. So, yeah, I didn't really see it coming.
Yeah, I didn't. And that's why, you know, the idea of who else did he waive that for? Who were the other teams that he waived?
Or was it just Seattle doesn't want me here, I'm not going to fight this. So let me just waive it and you guys make a move.
Well, from what we talked to with Hugh, it was very much a hey, I'm not waiving it until I get that team to agree to sign the extension. And that's what Hugh Millen said. And that, again, they cover Seattle a lot closer than any of us here in Denver. So I am inclined to believe him. And that's, again, that's not a proven fact. It is what he said he thought went down. Which, why wouldn't it? I mean, the smart move, Angel, you're not going to uproot your family. You're not going to move, buy a new house somewhere else, knowing you have to do that. If you could just stay in Seattle. They can't trade you. So they have to pay you. They may not have to start you, but they have to pay you. So the smart business move is to stay, no, I'm not going anywhere. Well, you can't trade me.
If we keep him and bench him, what's that going to do to our locker room? Knowing the type of guy
right.
that he is.
And Russ had that power, didn't he? He had that power over Seattle. They can't trade him because it's in the contract. Don't dare ask. You get in trouble. Who knows? This could have gone a couple of different ways. Broncos called the Seahawks. Are you interested? Because the Rodgers thing is not going to happen. Well, first off, you know, here's what we want. But then you got to get Russ to waive his no trade clause because he can't be traded. Well, why would he do that? Was there something about Denver that said championship to him? You tell me. They just fired a coach. They just fired Vic Fangio. John Elway just left, stepped up, down, kind of lateral somewhere. New ownership came in. There's a lot of question marks around this organization. Why would Russ just say, that's fine, trade me there? And then later we talk about contract in September.
How much of the Broncos narrative was, oh, they're still a quarterback away? Because even when they got Russ, it was, oh, we got the team now.
I don't know. I don't think that was the narrative to start the season last 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. The season before they made the off season right before they made the trade was the Broncos just need a quarterback.
Right, and that was that year. It was Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock, and I think that there were issues obviously with the head coach. You know, Vic Fangio wasn't it. I didn't like the quarterback decision stuff. You liked Javonte Williams. You thought Cortland Sutton might be really good and Tim Patrick could be really good. Offensive line was sketchy at that point. Defensively, they were okay. They weren't, there was nobody on that roster that just blew you away. So I don't know if the narrative was they were a quarterback away. Maybe they were a quarterback away from being like a 10-win team where they could sneak in. Because I think, you know, Dixon will give me crap. I'm always the guy that the last 3 years I thought, okay, they'll be around 10 wins. That doesn't mean they're a playoff team, especially now. Does that mean that Russ looked at it and said, yeah, that, I could see that happening? I don't know. Why would Russ go Nathaniel Hackett? Not, to me, nothing was appealing about Denver They weren't on the cusp of a championship. And you could say there was a narrative of they're a quarterback away all you want, but they weren't, and Russ would have seen that. Peyton Manning saw an 8-8 Denver Broncos win the AFC West, win a playoff game against the Steelers with Tim freaking Tebow. So if I'm Manning, I'm licking my chops going, they won 8 with Tebow? I could sleepwalk into that situation and win 10. So there was at least something there for Peyton to think, yeah, they actually had a pretty good defense. Because their defense was good. That's what kept them in games. They were winning games like 15-13. For Russ, what was it?
Was it the mutual interest with Rodgers that made it more of an attractive spot?
Ah, now we're starting to get the wheels turning a little bit. Russ wants to be compared to Aaron Rodgers. Hugh Millen told us that in the first hour. He wants the same contract as Rodgers. He wants to be treated the same way as Aaron Rodgers. Ooh, there was a realistic chance that Rodgers was going to come to Denver. Oh, he ended up not. He stayed in Green Bay for his swan song with the Packers, but he wanted to go there, and he loves Hackett. So maybe there was a little bit of that, but it was still on the Rodgers thing. Rodgers is going to leave Green Bay, and he's going to go get paid after that year. He stayed with Green Bay, got his money. He's going to go get paid again wherever he goes. Russ is looking at all of those things. If they would have traded for Rodgers, they would have rolled out the red carpet for him. So I'm not waiving this thing until I can be guaranteed I'm going to get a contract extension and finish my career in Denver. That's what the contract was supposed to do. It never happened. This contract never took effect. I mean, other than the money that you're paying him and then the cap hit. That's wild about the NFL, isn't it? A contract that never saw the football field. Still has to get paid out. Which is right, not disagreeing, and still shows in your dead cap space. But I do think that Russ, I thought it was going to be a Russell Wilson, a good marriage between Russ and Nathaniel Hackett. I really did.
When you talk about the dead cap, we talked about the receivers maybe purging this team a little bit. Where do you sit with a guy like Surtain, who you're going to have to sign in the next year or two?
Well, if Sean Keeler of the Post is correct, Sean Payton has no interest in rebuilding. If that's true, then you're keeping Patrick Surtain. Unless you use him and a future second-round pick to move up. Because the rebuild thing makes perfect sense. Trade your trade whatever you have to move up four spots. Get a quarterback. Next year's going to suck. But then the argument to that is, well, if you tank, you're not going to have another first-round pick. So that I get that. I do understand. But I do feel like that they might be in a position. That's why I say stay at 12.
Well, if you move Surtain, you free up $30, $40 million of money you have to pay him.
Is number 12 and Patrick Surtain, how much does that move you? Does that move the needle? When we're talking.
Into the top 10?
No. Top five.
Maybe a little bit more.
Does that move you?
I'd say it gets you into the top 10. I don't know about top five.
Yeah, because
there's three teams taking quarterbacks in the top five.
Probably.
And then are you getting looked at? Are we reaching?
Well, here's the thing. It's going to be Caleb. Again, all my Justin Fields takes aside. Let's just go with conventional wisdom right now. Caleb Williams at one. Maybe. Drake May. Jaden Daniels. Those three are gone. Chicago, Washington, Patriots. Although, there's rumors the Patriots might be interested in Baker Mayfield, which would change everything. There
I've
is
seen mocks with them taking McCarthy at three.
I've seen 4 million mocks since this whole thing started. I've seen some mocks that didn't have McCarthy in the first round until recently. Same with Bo Nix. But that could all change. But anyway, if you want. We agree that Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels might be closest to the sure thing, and then it's J.J. McCarthy next. Do you think that J.J. McCarthy is going to go before 12?
I do.
Then you got to get up and get him. Is he going to go before 4? Do you really think he's going to go to a Washington or Patriots?
I could see the Patriots.
Over Drake May?
No.
over Jaden Daniels?
Yes.
Is there a chance Sean
Payton...
There's
a report out that Jaden Daniels' camp has come out and says, we don't want to go to New England, and it may be climate-related.
Well, that would all...
want to play in the cold.
Probably take you out of Denver. I mean, it's warm here a lot, but there's still going to be those days. So the question is, can Patrick Surtain and number 12 move you into the top five?
I would say 8.
Then
I would
not,
say you might be able to get a 4th or a 5th at the end of that and boost it.
Then it's not worth it. Unless you get intel that tells you Chicago doesn't want JJ, Washington doesn't want JJ, Patriots don't want JJ, Arizona obviously, Chargers obviously, Giants don't want JJ, Titans probably no with Will Levis,
I mean,
Falcons don't want JJ. So if you want to move to 8, you better make it worth it. You better make damn sure your guy's there.
I think what's the Giants, the Raiders, and the Vikings are the three teams you'd have to worry about as the next potential quarterback takers.
Well, and where are the Raiders drafting?
They're either like right behind.
They're behind. They're because they beat the Broncos. So
okay, so they'd be like right behind.
Yeah.
And then the Vikings are in front of you.
So you've got and the Vikings are. That's an interesting one. What do they do? I've got Chicago, Washington, Patriots. And all listed as probablys in my book here. Arizona's a no. They're good. Chargers, no. They're good. Giants, honestly, is that still a maybe?
I would lean more towards...
Probably?
In between maybe and probably.
Okay.
More than likely.
Titans?
Likely to take a quarterback.
Titans likely no right now. Falcons, maybe?
Depends on what they're doing. If they have Fields, then no, but...
And then you have the Bears at 9, which the Bears at that point have either drafted Caleb Williams or they're going to stay with Justin Fields because they're not going to take a quarterback at 9 if they didn't like...
Or a team jumps up to that spot at number 9.
Jets are a no, although they did talk to all the quarterbacks because it doesn't hurt to get your next Jordan Love.
Sure.
And then the Vikings are kind of a maybe.
Oh, could you imagine? Between that to Rodgers twice.
Don't give him a weapon. 49 after the hour. What did we learn today? Coming up next, it's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Want to win $1,000 this year? Keep it here to find out how to enter KFKA's Bracket Challenge, presented in part by Summit Spas Windsor and Fort Collins.
This is Kelly Lyle with the Fort Collins, Colorado, and your CSU Insider on the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
What do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
All right, what did we learn on this fifth day of March 2024? Well, apparently Russell Wilson is no longer a Denver Bronco. Angel, I think that's fair to say that we learned that today, huh?
Until next Wednesday.
Maybe we learned a little too much. Until next Wednesday?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Officially. What did I learn today? I learned that, you know what? We're all wrong at some point, but there are people put in power to look at the pitfalls, the potential pitfalls. That's why general managers in sports, George Payton, his job was to look at the possible pitfalls of trading such a haul to get Russell Wilson and then signing the contract extension with him. As a fan, if you liked it, hey, it's Russell Wilson, man. It's Russell freaking Wilson. You should be excited about it. That's on George Payton. So all the a lot of the talking heads in Denver today are saying things like, you know, you were just as excited. Blah, blah, blah. Great. We're not paid as a general manager to look at those potential shortcomings with Russell Wilson, to do the research on Russ and his end of season stuff into the last 2 years with the Seattle Seahawks. So Angel, what'd you learn today?
As NFL fans, it doesn't matter if it's a vet, a rookie, whoever, there's going to be division about a quarterback. It's the most divisive, bipolar position in football. It's the most important, and that's why people get so up in arms about
they
it.
They sure do.
So you can get your rookie, it's the guy of the future, but 50% of your fans are going to be like, nah.
And he will be judged harshly every single Sunday. And we'll see if Russ is going to start anymore Sundays in the foreseeable future. That's going to do it for us. We'll be back at it on a Wednesday. Good night, Northern Colorado.